First, I want to thank the Thalheim's sponsoring for the month, the Panosim of the month, Schus Refuah Shleima for Yudi Dukes Chaim Shneir Zalman Yehuda Ben Hindi Yechevich Refuah Shleima for Shlosha Achol Yisrael, and also to thank the Panosim of the week of Parshas Veira, Hanan and Sarah Simon Seattle our Chaverim Shav Simcha Nachas and Bracha. Okay, what you should have, Moshe David sent you a couple of more pages from earlier in this Sefer that we were learning, from Darche Avoda, from Rav Schwartz. This will be our final preparation to begin learning inside the Sefer that we're going to have on his Baidus. This is from earlier in the Sefer, Darche Avoda, or Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, from Rav Schwartz on Tefillah. We've been learning the past few weeks, we've been learning a little bit about reorienting ourselves to think of our relationship with Hashem not only as our king, not even only as a father or a chassan, but as a friend. Hashem has to be approachable to us if we're going to approach him. We have to feel that he's approachable. And probably the main reason that we don't really have much success or we don't feel successful in our davening is because there is that lingering sense of, for whatever reason, him not being approachable or as approachable as we would like or we would hope. So that's why we were talking for a few weeks. We were learning about this Yidid Nefesh of Rachman. So now on Tefillah, what you have, I hope that you have in front of you, Aleph, page Lamed. Again, you just have to take a look always a day or two before, and you should have all the material on the phone. Ma tachlis shel hatfilah. We're preparing to embark on a journey into the world of Hizbaridus, so we have to ask ourselves at the beginning, where do we want to go with this? Ma tachlis shel hatfilah. What's the tachlis of davening? Derech la'asogas atzorchem agashmiim is davening a way to be able to get things that we need, physical things that we need. Hashem derech la'asogas tzorchem aruchnim. Maybe davening is a way to get spiritual things that we're looking for in life that we need. Hashem chizik emuna. Again, when you look in the Sfarim, you see all of these different things that davening can accomplish. Chizik emuna. It's mechazik emuna. When we daven, we say psukah de zimra, Hashem does this, Hashem does that, and we, through our davening, we're strengthened in our emuna in Hashem's existence and hashgacha pratis and so on and so forth. So is that what we're looking for? Is that the tachlis of davening? Chizik emuna. Emes hadavar. It's true. Shekol echad mishloisha devarim elu. The truth is that we can help through our tefillahs to get things that we need physically and spiritually, and we certainly can have hischaskas, we can be strengthened in our emuna through davening. It's all true. And there are other good things that come with davening. However, there is an akuda pnimis, a deep inner point, she'ef shalahasig ha'idei tefillah, which is really the tachlis of davening. All of these things are true, but the ultimate tachlis of davening, v'hihi ikir makuvan ha'tefillah, and it's the main purpose of davening. The main purpose of davening. So, beis, mahi oisa nakuda amuka upnimis. What is this? Nakuda amuka upnimis, this deep inner tachlis, reason for davening. Kosev Ramchal. The Ramchal writes in Mesil Shasharim Perik Yud Tes. Mizel Lashon, these are his words. Ha'echad shuhu oimed mamish lefnei ha'boreas baruch shomai. V'noisein imai. He says the first point that he's making there is that a person has to realize that each one of us is oimed mamish, that we're standing mamish lefnei habaris baruch shemo, that we're standing mamish in Hashem's presence. V'noisei v'noisei nimoi. And we're speaking to him. We're having a conversation with him. Af al pi she'ein eino shel adam ro'eyu. Even though, of course, we can't see Hashem with our eyes. V'tira hizo ha'yoyse kosher she'estar b'leiv v'adam si'ir amiti. And the Ramchal says the truth is that this is the hardest thing for a person to picture in our minds and in our hearts. Yan ein chush oizel zekla, because none of our physical senses are helping us with this. Whenever we're told to notice something, to pay attention to something, whenever we're told that we're in the presence of something that's very, very significant and important, the only way we can experience that is with one of our senses. And that's, since we're in the world, that's the only way that we are able to discern what's there, is with our senses. But here, Eina chush oizel zekla, our senses do not help us at all. Omnam mihu bal seichel nachon. Ramchal says, however, a person who's a bal seichel nachon, a person who thinks clearly, b'ma'at is abundus v'sima slav, with a little bit of contemplation, a little bit of paying attention, yuchal gvor b'libo amitas adavar, can establish in his heart the truth, amitas adavar, eich hu ba v'noise v'noisen mamish ima yisbarach, how we're living in our lives in the presence of Hashem. And when we're davening, we're talking to him. Well, the fun of whom is Chane, and he is the one that we're beseeching. Humeita humavakesh, he is the one who we're asking for these things that we need. V'hu yisbarach shema mazen lo, and that Hashem Yisbarach is listening. We're not going to see that. We're not going to feel that in a regular way with any of our senses, but it requires seichel nochein and ma'at hezbeinus. Seichel nochein ma'at. Now, what is seichel nochein ma'at hezbeinus? Okay, we said the Holmes Seals Hashem and all the Svarim Hakadoshim are telling us. What is that seichel? What is that seichel nochein? And what's the hezbeinus? That a person is able to come to this reality. That who is baruch shem ma'azin lo makshel v'devarav. That Hashem is listening to him. Kashi yadabri ish el re'ehu ve're'ehu makshiv. Kashi yadabri ish el re'ehu, as if you're talking to your friend and your friend is listening. Shomei elav. Those are the words of the Ramchal. Now, all of you have learned Mesillas Yesharim, and you know that the Ramchal does not set out in Mesillas Yesharim to prove God's existence. That's not the purpose of Mesillas Yesharim. In Derech Hashem, Das Tfunis, there's more, he engages more in that type of conversation. Mesillas Yesharim is not that at all. That's not Mesillas Yesharim. When you open up Mesillas Yesharim, the Ramchal is assuming that his audience for Mesillas Yesharim, the people that he's talking to, are those who believe in Hashem's existence. That's not the issue. And that there are people who believe also in Hashgacha Pratis, that Hashem is following everything, and that Hashem is everywhere, and so on. That's Mesillas Yesharim is written for that audience. And following along with that, that the person who is learning Mesillas Yesharim also believes that Hashem is listening. That Hashem is listening. That the Ramchal says that with some seichel nochen and his bonenus and simas aleiv, a person can be kaveyed this very deeply in his heart, and the entire sefer of Mesillas Yesharim is to strengthen that awareness of living our lives in Hashem's presence. And how does a Jew behave? Knowing with absolute certainty and complete faith that you're in Hashem's presence. But what he's saying over here is the same way you all know that he says at the very beginning, and I'm not teaching you anything new in this Sefer. I'm not setting out to teach you anything you don't know. But I want to be mechazik, that you should have a kvius inside of who you are to live this way. Every person that is in shul on Shabbos, or during the week, every single person in shul, if you ask them, do you believe in God? So they'll look at you funny. What do you mean, do I believe in God? What do you think I'm doing here? So I could say, I know what you're doing here. You're talking to the guy next to you all day long. So then he'll say to you something like, no, I don't mean like what I shouldn't be doing. Maybe he'll say, but why do I come to shul? I come to shul because of course I believe in God. So Ramchal also was speaking to that same chaver, that we're here because we believe in Hashem. But to live in that reality, that Hashem is listening to my tefillahs, that's what the Ramchal is working on in the Sefer. That's what the Ramchal is working on. And that's something that cannot be proven or demonstrated. It can't be. The bottom line is that emunah is not something, even though many people have tried, at the end of the day, that's something that a person either believes in or he doesn't believe in. One of the problems that the kids are having these days is when they go to school and some of these kids are not convinced that God exists at all, and then the teacher says, we have proofs, and we could demonstrate that God exists, and then the teacher says some sort of a lame proof, which he might call some great philosophical demonstration that he heard when he was in seventh grade, and a kid, if he's a little bit bright, he goes home and he thinks about it, and he said, that doesn't really hold up on the questioning. You know, whatever the proofs are, they're not proofs. Anybody that's ever wasted the time, which I did when I was much younger, going through all the proofs, you can go through all of them, you could poke holes in any one of the proofs. Big holes, not just little holes. Big holes in any one of the proofs. There is no proof. There's no proof that the Baruch Hu who gave us the Torah and Har Sinai and created the world and so on. You want to say there's a proof that there's some great force out there? Whatever it is, there's no absolute scientific, historical proof that God exists. That's not where emunah comes from. Emunah does not come from proof, so we're not talking about that. And that's not what the Ramchal is talking about. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about Jews who believe in Hashem's existence and believe in the truth of the Torah that's given in Har Sinai and believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. Now the question is, why are you talking in shul? Now that's the question. It's not a question for someone who's an atheist. Why is the atheist talking in shul? Why shouldn't he? Unless, you know, they're cherets. Which, by the way, some of them have more derech eretz than we do. It's not a question for an atheist. Why is he talking in shul? He doesn't believe in God. So there's nothing different about being in shul, being in Yankee Stadium. There's no difference. Could it be he feels more holiness in Yankee Stadium? I don't know. That's not a question for him. But the question is, if you're a person that believes in Hashem, and you believe in Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah and the oral Torah, then why is it that your davening is so empty? Why is your davening so empty? What's wrong with you? So here, this is where the Ramchal comes in Mesil Shashar. And Ramchal is saying that there's an underlying problem is that you don't really, what we were talking about the last few weeks, you don't really feel that he's a Yedid Nefesh. You don't really feel that he's a friend of yours who wants to hear from you. You don't really feel that you're a person who's worthy of even talking to him about your stuff or asking him for stuff. That's number one. Number two is that because of all of that, or related to all of that, is you don't really believe that he's listening to you. Or you might believe that he listens to tefillahs, but you don't feel that right now he's listening to you. You know, we're now in the parashiyos of Gula from Mitzrayim. In Parashas Vayera, things start to move faster, right? And in Parashas Bo, we leave. So, if somebody were to ask you, or you would just think about this question, at what point would you say is this chalta de geula? What was the beginning of redemption? We all know what it says in Parshas Shmos, in Parshas Vayera, Parshas Bo. What would you say is the chalta de geula, the beginning of redemption? Because when the book opens, when Sefer Shmos opens, it's just very depressing. What's the beginning of the geula? When did we begin to feel that this looks like it's happening? This is exciting. This is real. When was that? No, Hashem spoke to Moshe. Anyway, so I'm taking them out. All that stuff. But you know that it wasn't going. It wasn't so pushing. And even once we began to feel that this is really happening, because of how miserable we were, We said, really? How could it be? But that first spark of feeling that it's happening is in the pasuk, "V'gam ani shamati es nakas b'nei Yisrael, Hashem Mitzrayim avidim ha'isam ve'eskar es brisi." When Hashem said, "I want you to tell them that I hear them," I think that's the beginning of Gula. I want them to know that I'm hearing. Again, "V'gam ani shamati es nakas b'nei Yisrael, Hashem Mitzrayim avidim ha'isam ve'eskar es brisi." I have heard their crying. I've heard them screaming and they're crying. About what the Egyptians are doing to them, and I remember the bris. The Ikar HaGeula does not really take place with plagues and miracles, and the same way that it was back in Egypt, it's the same way in our lives. All that stuff, like ever this fancy stuff, and people tell you all kinds of proofs and so on. Geula begins the moment that a person believes b'emunah shleima in those three words, "V'gam ani shamati." I'm listening to you. I hear you. I'm listening to you. Whenever one of my kids came back from a date, or whenever I talked to one of my talmidim or talmidos that was on a date, the first thing they come back, they say, "How did it go?" The first thing I talk to them about is I might say they have a nice time, attracted, all that stuff. But then what I will ask very quickly, I'll ask, "Do you feel that person was listening to you or just schmoozing? Do you feel that person is listening to you? Is hearing you? Them is listening to you in a real way." That might not be clear the first date, they just stop schmoozing, you know, shooting the breeze. But over a few dates, do you feel that person is really listening to you? Now, that's very hard for a lot of young people to figure that out. It's very hard to figure that out. As you get older, you become more sensitive to that. You pick up on that in a better way. But with young people, they often do not know how to make that chilek. Having a good time, schmoozing, and whether the person is really telling you all about herself. And when you talk, when you say things back, she just continues on with her speech about herself. Just, she put your narrative into her speech. A lot of people do that. They're not really hearing you. Whatever they're hearing is only passing through that prism of what I want to tell you, and now I'm going to respond to you based upon how it fits into what I'm saying, not really what you're saying. That's a very mature thing to hear somebody. It's very, very mature to hear somebody. That happens when you're married too. You could be in an argument, and this argument is going on for hours or days, chas v'shalom. And at some point, not when you're in the middle of an argument, because that doesn't happen though, but at some point, like if you're maybe, you know, just thinking about it, so then you might start to listen and say, "I think she might have a point about that." And that could be 2 days later, and you're not angry, or you're just, you know, you're not silly place. You're not angry. You're not fighting. You're just not really talking to each other. It's just, you know, where's the car or something. But you're not really engaging. And sometimes, you know, you might have a close friend that you could talk to about, you know, and the close friend will say, "Well, what is she upset about? Like, what happened?" And first you'll say, "Oh," and you'll say it over like in a dumb way. And then your friend will ask you a few questions, and your friend will say, "That's a pretty good point. I think she has reason to be upset with you." And then, "What are you talking about?" And then if you're able to think about it a little bit, you realize that she made some good points. You might have some good points too, but she made some good points. She made some good points. Geula is when there's listening. Same thing with Yosef and his brothers. This is all happening to us because our brother was crying out to us and we didn't listen to him. They heard him screaming. I mean, they didn't listen. They heard him screaming. But they didn't daher, you understand? They weren't listening. They weren't listening to Yosef. They touched him up a certain way. They weren't listening to him. The worst thing is when you're in a relationship and you feel that the other one is not hearing you. So if you don't feel in a deep way that Hashem is hearing you, He's listening to you, the davening is not going to happen. You'll just, you know, it's not going to happen. That's the beginning. And that, therefore, really, that's the beginning of the gula. Gam ani shamati, gam ani shamati. I'm listening to you. I understand what's hurting you. Vayeda Elokim. But that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell them, gam ani shamati. Afterwards, Moshe Rabbeinu tries. And they say, it says, v'leishom al Moshe, mikotz ruch ma'avad ha'kash. They had a hard time being Makabalist of Moshe Rabbeinu. It took a long time for them to trust Moshe Rabbeinu also. It took a while. Even in the Midbar, even after he did all the good stuff for them, they had problems with Moshe Rabbeinu. But when you feel that someone is listening to you, be'emes, a successful therapist, many of these therapists, when I hear what they have to say, the aces, I'm not impressed at all. For that, you have to go to school for so many years to give such an aces. It's not... One of the big things with therapy is to be able to help the patient or the whatever you call them, customer, I don't know, depends how much you're getting charged, I guess, to feel that you're hearing them and you get them. When you're growing up in a house, if you don't feel that your parents are listening to you, that they're hearing you, that's bad. They might not have the best ages, and they might have things that are like from another planet. Especially, you know, it could be that you're a first generation American, and it could be your parents come from a different culture and they have a different way of looking at life. I mean, seriously, when I think back, not my father, but my mother, most of the things, the ages of my mother were just not practical for a kid in New York. And my mother was giving me ages from, you know, 1930 in Hungary. And it was a different world. But she was listening to me. I always felt that I had her ear and that she loved me. I always felt that. She was listening. When you feel that v'gam ani shamati es nakas bnei Yisrael, v'gam ani shamati es nakas bnei Yisrael, that's already the beginning of Geula, and that's what he's explaining here. Look what he says. V'hu yisbar shema mazin lo. It's not enough to believe in Hashem. Everybody believes in Hashem in shul. It's not enough to believe in Hashem. That's not going to necessarily change your davening. You believe in Hashem. It's a good place to begin, but that's not going to make you into a davener. Children really believe that Hashem's listening because we tell them that and they believe it. At some point, they start to wonder, I don't know if he's listening. But when they're little, we say, Hashem listens to you. Everywhere Hashem is listening, you put them to bed and you say, Kriya Shema, and you give them this little sweet little talk about how Hashem listens to how it feels. And the kids really believe it. And they talk that way. Really, that's you return to that with this in a very simple way. They believe it and Hashem is listening, and that's why children have no problem with davening. They have no problem saying please Hashem. They have no problem with that. The problems begin when the kid thinks that, well, I asked for Hashem and he didn't deliver what I wanted. That's A, and then B, well, if he didn't deliver, must be he's not listening. Kids make that jump very quickly because they used that with their parents. I remember I told you once years ago that I remember it so clearly that the kids were little. So one of my two of the girls came. My girls came to me. They said, Daddy, can we go to the park? And I said, the natural religious response to that was, yeah, Mitzvah Shem a little bit later. So I remember which kid it was who said, no, we really want to go. I thought about that. They already knew intuitively, they knew that the words in Mitzvah Shem is a disclaimer. And that means that probably we're not going to end up in the park. Which means that, I guess, based on what my father said, if God wants, it turns out that God didn't want. And then why wouldn't God want us to go to the park? When the truth is that, no, the father didn't want to go to the park. The father didn't want to go to the park. But I just felt it's better to blame it on Hashem. Why take responsibility when I can blame it on Hashem? So I just said, yeah, Mitzvah Hashem. She said, no, we really want to go. Don't give us that line, Mitzvah Hashem line. But that's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. to feel that you're not being heard and you're not being listened to, how can you daven? Now we're going to see a lot about that in Mishnah and the Svarim as we in the Sefer as we go further. But this is just a beginning. The Ramchal says, "V'huiz baruch shemo mazin lo makshiv ledvarav kashi dabi ish areehu vareehu makshiv." The beginning of davening is that belief that he's listening to me the same way that when I'm talking to my best friend and I'm telling him something that's important, that he's listening to me, that he's listening to me. Shomei elav. You know how it is. It's so painful when you're talking to somebody and they're looking at their phone. Did that happen to you? That happened to you? You're talking to somebody and he's looking at the phone. That hurts. Then you don't feel like talking. You just say, oh, forget it. He says, no, I'm listening to him. He says, no, it's okay. Yeah, I know you were talking about work. No, I wasn't about work. What were you talking about? That hurts. So, if you don't believe that Hashem is listening to you, it hurts, and the davening doesn't go. That's what Ramchal says. So he explains after Ramchal, Ad Kal Hashem. Then he says, "Hari lanu lahavin." We have to understand. She'ikir makuvan atfilahu. The main point of davening is all the other things are good. Get what you need. Physically, spiritually, strengthen your emunah, all that stuff is good. But ikim akuvna tfilahu, the main purpose of davening, is sha'odam yagil mahalach shel chayim, v'b'chinas nochach im haborei. That davening should bring a Jew to a way of life where he feels that every moment of my life, I am together with Hashem. That's the tachas of davening. To bring a person, sha'odam yagil mahalach shel chayim, not just every now and then, not just a ni'ilah, but a mahalach shel chayim, that my way of life, my entire life, is what? Nochach im habore. Nochach. Ata Hashem. Ata. You. You. Like the B'dishva song, do, you, everywhere, you, only you. That's the tachas of davening. Shekol tzuras chayim. That one's entire, the whole tzuras achayim, the way of one's life, you shut for some habari. It's a shut for some habari. And those of you who have learned the Bilvavi Svarim, you know that all of this Svarim are to help us and give us practical exercise, even when you're going shopping. This is what I came to this store because I need the following thing. Help me to be able to find what it is that I need. And that this what I'm bringing home, if I'm going to pick up some food for the kids, that it should be all kosher. And it should give them the chiyas that the kids need. You live in a way of davening. Davening is not three times a day. That's the beginning of his body. This davening is a way of life. It's a way of life. And that way of life is shutfus im habari. Shutfus im habari. Ashutaf, partners, shutfus mabay. Loy shutfus shel Ezra, to see you a great. Not just a shutfus when I'm in trouble, help, when I'm having a problem. Not just a shutfus of help, of getting help. El shutfus kahalechim chaveri yad biyad. A real shutfus. A shutfus like you're walking with a person that you love and you're holding hands. A shutfus mabay. Yad biyad. That's the word yidid, right? Yidid is the word yad, yad. Hand and hand. That's a shutfus. Yad be yad. Smudim zel lazeh. Bound one to the other. Kein mamish, sarach shi yatsuras chayim shel adam. That is the tsuras achayim of a Jew. That's how the avos and the imahos live. That's how the tzaddikim live. And that's tsuras achayim. Shu chayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol hazman b'tzura shel noichach. That your entire life is b'tzura shel noichach. And by the way, one of the great fringe benefits of that type of life is that even if you're not getting what you want, you're still okay. Because your best friend doesn't always do for you what you want. Your wife, your husband, your kid. So b'say that. Anachnu chayim b'yachad. Namshich b'yachad. Right? I don't have to translate that. Namshich, we continue on together. you as long as the other one, as long as you understand why what I'm telling you, as long as you're hearing how important this is to me and how much I want this. Yeah, so, you know, I remember I said to my father that the guys were all going, it was a Goyisha holiday, and the guys were all going to the basketball game at Madison Square Garden. And I went to my father, and I said, Daddy, the guys are going. That's how you always begin, right? The guys are all going, can I go? My father said, no, I know what you're going. And I said, well, the guys are going. He said, the Knicks are playing Boston. It's a hush of a game, you know, and we have tickets. So I said, I'd rather you not go tonight. And then I asked again, which I did. I said, but my father said, no, I accept you. I'd rather you not go tonight. And I was a little bit, you know, upset about that. I didn't say anything. My father had this sheet that on a non-Jewish holiday, it's better for Jews not to go outside and do things. Okay, again, that's 1923. But when I spoke to my father about this later on, so my father, I didn't begin any conversation. My father said to me later on that I know that you're disappointed because I know that you really wanted to go to the game, and it's important. I know it's important to you, and I'm sorry that, but I don't feel that it's the right time to go. And that did that addition make me feel any better? Probably not, because I was I was a kid and I was upset. But I could say that I felt that I was heard. I don't think that there was always agreement. I don't think it was always agreement. But when you feel at least that the other person cares and is listening, you could continue on. You continue on. You're disappointed. Maybe you know you didn't hear really how much this means to me. It really means much more to me than you thought. With Hashem, He knows how much it means to us. With a human being, they don't always know. But at least I know that you're listening, you're hearing. Without that, what's there to do? There's no tachlis. Shuchai Makadosh Baruch Hu, to live a life. Shuchayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of living together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol hazman besura shel nochach, in a way of nochach, noch means together. Hu mesocheach imo kedaber ish al re'ehim. And you speak to Hashem the way you would speak to your friend. Mitoch hasoges hanefesh, with this deep belief and feeling, shu margish es HaKadosh Baruch Hu kenoichach mamish liyado, that you feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamish there with you. Mamish there with you. Now, when a person feels that, you can't talk in shul. You can't talk in shul. You can't steal. When you feel that, you can't steal. You can't, when you feel that, you can't do those things. The only way that we can do things that we shouldn't be doing is because of a rosh to us. And what's the Rosh Tos? An Irishkeit. The Irishkeit is that, you know, Hashem went away someplace. He's taking a break. He doesn't. He's not following. Whatever it is, but if you live mamish in that Surah Sechaim, that you're living mamish magish Hakadosh Baruch Hu kenoicha mamish liyado, shivisa Hashem lenegdi sami. That's the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. That's why Shulchan Aruch begins that way. Because Shulchan Aruch is saying, the beginning of Shulchan Aruch is shivisa Hashem lenegdi sami. Because Shulchan Aruch is saying, listen, chevre, if you believe in this Shavisa Hashem Negdi Samid, then I'm going to go ahead and write this book. That's pretty much what he's saying. The whole big Shulchan Aruch. If you believe in Shavisa Hashem Negdi Samid, please tell me that you believe in that. Because otherwise, like, I have other stuff I could do. I'm spending like years writing this. If you believe that Hashem is with you every second of your life, then this Sefer Shulchan Aruch is going to tell you how to live that life together with Hashem. But if you're a guy that you're hiding and you're running, you know, you could look for some other book. Maybe some Musa book or something. Kabbalah, Chassidus. But that's not what the Shulchan Aruch is. Shulchan Aruch is written for people who live with God. If you don't live with God, then Shulchan Aruch doesn't work. Doesn't work. It's like, what's the tachlis? You're gonna You can go outside. You can go outside the driveway today. It's a nice day. It's a little bit warmer than it's been. You can go outside with a steak and a couple of hot dogs and some buns. And what are you gonna do if you don't have a barbecue? Like, what are you gonna do? You can put it on a table and make believe that it's a barbecue. It's not gonna happen. It's not shy. It's not happening. If you don't have the barbecue, you're not barbecuing. That's all. That's how it is with everything else in life. Why should the Shulchan Aruch, why should Rabbi Yosef Karo write the Shulchan Aruch if the first sif you don't believe in or you don't live with? Because Shulchan Aruch is only meaningful if the Shulchan Aruch is only meaningful if you're living in that reality with which the Shulchan Aruch began. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, Shivi says, the Ramah says, Shivi brings from the Ranavuch and the Rambam, Shivi says, and the Yisambi. That's, now the book, this sefer is for you. If you're one of those people that believes in that, then this sefer is for you. If you don't live that way, if you don't believe in that, then it might be interesting as an academic, but it's not practical for you. It's not practical. Or let's say you order the barbecue online, and the only thing that came were the instructions. It's also. So what are you going to do? You're going to go outside in the driveway again? You're going to go to your backyard, to the porch, and you take the instructions? At what? So Shulchan Aruch is a whole book of instructions. So we sit every. So you sit with the Mishnah Berurah. So now what? It was written for people who live with the Baruch Shalom. Who live with the Kadosh Baruch. And living with the Kadosh Baruch means these are the instructions. Here it is. This is the manual of how to live with Hashem. This is the manual. If you want to know how Hashem wants us to live with Him, this is the manual for living with Hashem. And when you open up the siddur, what's the siddur? The siddur, or you're opening up a tilling, opening the siddur. The siddur is, this is for people. This is for people who believe and live with it in this mitzvah that they're talking and Hashem is listening. If not, what are you opening up the siddur? Why are you coming to shul? You want to meet your friends, stuff like that. That's relatively easy to determine why people come to shul. Case by case, why is that person in shul? But if your siddur begins with Shivis Hashem Nagdi Samit, that's how you begin. So then the siddur is meaningful. Then davening is meaningful. But many people are davening just because their fathers daven and their mothers daven, not because they're living in that mitzvah. That's why I told you once that I heard from Rabbi Yaakov Meshechta many years ago that the word daven in Yiddish is from the Aramaic da'avuhun, which means it comes from the fathers, da'avuhun. We received it, avos, tfilis, avos tikmu, that they were mesakan tfilis. So the word daven is the word da'avuhun in Aramaic, da'avuhun, of the fathers. But Rabbi Yaakov Meshechta said, but that's a problem. If you're just davening because your father daven, it's a big problem. Da'avuhun. It's avoid the. It's avoid this belief. Davening depends upon your avoida, upon hard work. So that's what he says. V'chol zois ha'adam yochel litnas aydei tefila. But one can acquire through davening, and this is the tachlis of all davening, and especially we feel that by his brothers, that through davening, through talking and learning the art of tefillah, that one can be kind of this new way of life, Now, since we've all seen that you can live for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years with davening, da'avun, and it doesn't change your life. So, that's why the tzaddikim said that sometimes, very often, not just sometimes, the siddur becomes just another institution and when davening is just an institution, the siddur become an institution, the shul is an institution, but that's not what davening is. But through real davening, one can acquire this new way of living, which is a tzuras hachaim of living with Hashem. Adei shamar gil atzmo dam kash baruch hu tamid. However, the likelihood is nowadays, and not have been years ago, but nowadays, if you just daven three times a day, it's not. There's no guarantee that that's going to bring you to this way of life. And we see that. We know that ourselves, and we see that. However, if you begin to daven in such a way where throughout the day you talk to Hashem, throughout the day, you stop and talk to Hashem, or even when you're on the move, you talk to Hashem. Then, through those weeks and months and years, you begin to have this natural companionship, this yididus, and you feel, you can say anything, and you feel that you're being heard. Any time of the day, not just by Shachris Menchamar, not just by benching and brachas, any time of the day. That's what his body, this is all about. Any time, any place, any time. Even if you're in a place where Rabbi Nachman says, well, you can't open your mouth for whatever reason, you're not able to daven in that place, you can't. Not only someplace in the woods or out on the beach someplace. Any time, any place. Because that's the Tzuras HaChayim. Because that's the Tzuras HaChayim of a Jew, of a mispalo. Even with your friend, you can't always see your friend. You can't always be together with your spouse. Or the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Call, he's open for business 24 hours, 7 days a week. Call Sha'isayim, whenever. B'chol Dover V'Dover. Not only that, but even with a good friend, you might sometimes be a little bit concerned that I don't want to bother him with this is an Irish guy. Hashem, there's no such thing as an Irish guy. If it's something that's on your mind, talk about it. If it's something that you're worried about, or something that you're happy about, there's nothing that the Baruch Hu doesn't care about. Every single thing he's listening and he cares about. Hopaina o madab im kash baruch hu b'loshon noichach. Loshon noichach. B'chol eisu b'chol shah. Chazal say, when a person is worried about something not going well in the bathroom, so it's a question, can I hear? Not talking about davening in the bathroom, but even if a person, we say a bracha, it's not just a matter of thanking Hashem. It's even for those things in life that seem to be part of the daily routine, that it changes from being something that I take for granted, and it becomes something that is a gift that's been given to me by the one who I'm with right now. He's giving me directly this gift right now. That's how the tzaddikim live. And therefore the bracha is a bracha. He's excited. Because it's not talking about something that was a bracha that was made a long time ago that you have to make when you leave the bathroom. You say these words when you leave the bathroom. It's because I want to thank you. Now, I use these words that were formulated by Chazal to thank you. But then you begin to also speak about things that we don't have just official brachas or official tefillas. And over time, b'tzura zu, hu yikne es hasogis ha-nefesh lahargish zakadosh baruch hu, shu be'emes noichach imo mamish. Over time, speaking this way, talking during the day in such a way, over time, you begin to feel more and more that Hashem is be'emes noichach imo mamish. That Hashem is Baruch is mamish every single second that He's together with you. Neichach imoy mamish. That's the tachas of davening, and that's something that through davening, it's a tachas of davening, and through davening, and we're going to learn how to daven for that as well. To talk to Hashem very openly about how I'm trying, it's not going. I'm trying to talk to you, and I don't feel that you're listening. These are all things that we could talk about, but the ikkar is that you continue on in the relationship and you continue on talking with that And through that, over time, a person can acquire this Tzuras HaChaim of Noichach HaShem, of living in the Baruch Shalom's presence. I will stop here.